Okay, good morning. All right, let's start off by opening the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And what we're going to do, we're going to take our time going through the part with communion because I think it's important. And then chapters 12, 13, 14, going to do it rather quickly and slow down for chapter 15 because that's a great chapter. And after we get through chapter 11, I'll let Kit teach a little while and so he get at least one verse in Zephaniah in 3 months. And then we'll do chapter 12, and then I'll let Chris Dagg or one of the guys do that. And we're just, they need experience, and you people are with them, and appreciate what we can learn and will learn from them. It is it's a shame where the church is today. Most churches do not want Bible teaching. They want what they call worship music, praise, and this type of thing, and prayer and communion. Teaching divides, and people indeed it does. That's why you drive down the street. You got Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, all these. It divides. Teaching divides, and it's designed to. And they don't want that. So let's go get involved in teaching. I was doing some research after hearing about Justin Bieber. I don't know if you've heard, but he dropped the rest of his tour, and he wants to rededicate himself to Jesus Christ. That just sounds great. Well, I got on the internet and started looking, and I couldn't find a thing about, as far as the theology of the church he's involved with out of Australia. They got one branch in New York now. So I'm not ready to say anything because I can't find the gospel. I said, what is the gospel? I wrote the pastor's name down. I wrote the name of the church down, the name of the seminary down. What is their gospel? And couldn't get it. And I'm a little alarmed because Jeremiah, who is very good, has nothing but negative comments to make about him, about the church and the pastor, and that's alarming. He says their gospel's not straight, and their Christianity's not straight, not biblical. So, but what they do is represent what's happening in a lot of churches today. That's why they're dropping traditional names and going to stuff like Cowboy Warehouse, these weird names. Because they don't want to be a church so that people will come. Well, I'm not ashamed. This is a Christian church. And we're going to study the Bible. That's what it's about. And may not grow. I hope we do. Going to be talking to you about that over the next month or two. But Chris Dagg and I talked a little bit. Laura Dagg is at the camp. And we need to reach out. And I was so proud and so thankful for Chris Dagg's attitude. I said, Chris, forget me for a moment. Let's just talk. If we upgraded some of our music, made it more progressive and worship-oriented, would that bring in some people? And I was very proud of him. He said, no. I said, I don't think it would. He said, it would disturb some of them that you have and not bring in anybody. And we talked about them. What can we do? What should we be doing? And because we can't just let people keep moving and dying and not replacing. And as my expression likes to go, put the cup out and see if the Lord wants to pour into the cup or not. But so please be in prayer in that regard. And I talked to John Hintz about these new names and Warehouse Church and Cowboy Church and Sunshine Church and Saddleback Church is another one. Saddleback Church, all these weird names. Well, they just don't want to be identified. And John's attitude was pretty good. He said, what I hope happens is if they're straight on the gospel, Now, if the Beaver's church isn't, I don't know. I can't tell. But if they're straight on the gospel and people get saved, they might reach a point where, you know, hey, I want to learn more and come to a Bible church. Yes?
I thought it was Spring Valley Ghost Church.
Well, we'd get some good people in, I guarantee you. Just be in prayer for leadership and ideas of what where the Lord wants to go with that. But all I was saying was John was saying that so they might want, they get saved and realize there's got to be more. Not everyone will, but a few. And they'll come to a Bible church where they can learn the Word of God. So we certainly want to be there. And so these young men that are ready, as far as I'm concerned, ready to take a church in our assembly, we'll have some group somewhere that will want to know the truth and have the truth taught. But we'll just have to see and be in prayer with each other about our assembly, as well as other assemblies like John's and Jody Brown's and this type of thing. John Hintz has reached a point where older people are just, they're dying and all this, and they have sort of a funny thing going between them. The last one out turned out the lights. And we all realize that this problem exists. Jody realizes it up in Indiana, and he's losing old age people. So we'll just have to see what the Lord's going to be doing in that respect. So right now, let's continue our work on the communion service, because it's something that's part of our church activity and is important in the Word of God. Yes?
Maybe we just be in prayer for him. He's on his journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is, I guess, where you started this morning.
Yeah, I agree, because when I first heard it, I went, wow, that, you know, rededicate to Jesus Christ. That sounds good to me. And because I know he's a believer, and I know he was reared in a good Christian home, so he has some semblance of truth there, and got away from it. That happens, and rededicate, get back to it. And one news thing said that he probably will change. They said some people thought, okay, he's through with music, but he said, no, I'll be back. But he'll probably change the presentation on stage. Won't have the sexy clothes and all this type of thing. And that they want to hear his voice. And that's what it'll be. And he'll probably get as many people as we get. But I don't know his music at all. And don't care to. But I do know the name because I have grandchildren. And this type of thing. So, and what my experience of knowing, outside of knowing that he has a Christian home, has just been all the bad stuff that makes the news. I don't know anything about, anything good about him. So, I think you're right. Be in prayer for him. Be in prayer that the Holy Spirit will take that attitude and lead him in the truth. So I agree to that. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for a study in the Word of God. We're thankful for this assembly, Father. We're thankful for the outreach that you give us. We're thankful for the teaching you reveal to us. Father, we pray that you just continue to guide us, continue to use us. And now, Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the truth and passages before us, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. All right, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Verse 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you." And we've covered all of that. And where we left off last week, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we made it down to point five of remembering. Point one, remembering is a very important function in the spiritual life. It's important in marriage. It's important in every area of our life. Secondly, to point two, When you forget the past or move away from the past, you change your present and your future. And it's kind of up for grabs. And I gave you the quote, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Point three, we looked at Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Multiple things that we should forget, and forgetting those things that are behind. Forgetting the good, you can't hold on to, well, I did this really good, did that really good. That's, we all know this from the sports world. Well, you did real good, but what have you done for us this year? Nothing. So we want you out of there, and we're ready for a replacement, this type of thing. So you can't hold on to past glories. Two, not live in the past. Three, forgetting sins and failures of the past. Four, unfortunately, many people remember all the bad. They dwell on this and never forgive. And this, of course, is a famous line in Shakespeare's, the good that men do is buried with them, the evil is after them. And speaking of Caesar. So, point four, unfortunately, many people remember the bad. Point five, Scripture is very clear on forgetting as well as on remembering. And here we looked at Philippians chapter 3, 13, but we looked at the whole chapter. And now this morning we resume at point 6 on this whole concept of remembering. This is just the reason, why remembering and forgetting are a work of the Holy Spirit. We have to remember that. Remembering and forgetting our ministry of the Holy Spirit when we walk with Him. Flesh remembers sins and failures. Holy Spirit remembers things in the spiritual realm. It's amazing how many, I think I like to say in humor, but it's true, reporters and Christians will never let you forget your failures, your sins. They can't write an article on Richard Nixon without bringing up what happened to him. I don't care if the whole article, they found something good they want to write about him, but they cannot stay away from that. And that's where a lot of Christians are. They'll always remember your past failures and sins and faults and things like that. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He remembers things in the spiritual realm. The flesh remembers sins. The flesh remembers failures. The Holy Spirit remembers things in the spiritual realm. Point seven. The language domain, and I got that word from a two-volume work I have by Lowell, and it's called, they deal with sort of like a lexicon, but they deal with it in domains, not alphabetically. And they take words in a domain and carry the same concept that are translated to remember, to recall, remembrance, again and again, exercise memory, recollect, be mindful, call to mind. All of these are different words in the Greek, but they carry that same idea. Therefore, point eight, but not simply to remember. Now, this isn't just a matter of remembering, but to remember in such a way as to have a spiritual, positive impact in your life. That's what we're dealing with here. Generally speaking, by the remembering, some action should come about. Increase your faith, your continuing to trust Him, your relationship with Christ, motivated by faith, spiritual love, growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. As you remember what He did, taking communion, remember how He died on the cross, rose again, ascended into heaven. I want to learn more of this. That remembering should motivate to something more in that respect. Now, in a few moments, I'll be talking more about it. But it's just like remembering on Veterans Day, Memorial Day, these kind of things. You go to a monument, it should burn in you patriotism. And one of the most wonderful things, this week, was just watching 120 kids get up early in the morning for the raising of the flag. And then the lowering of the flag in the evening. I just loved it. Just loved watching them. They would take off their hat, those that had hats on. And it was really, really wonderful. And I think, and I'd like to think, that some who never have that type of of patriotism in their home or their church or their school, it awakened it to, wow, this is important. And different kids, each one of three different young people, would be there for the raising of the flag, raise it up, and then three different ones would bring it down in the evening. And each day, that group would change. And I just think that's wonderful to watch how that took place. So it isn't just a matter of remembering. It's remembering to where it causes a positive action in the person's life. A husband and wife remembering their wedding day and should spurn them to just not become so. Familiarity breeds contempt. Got to remember that. Familiarity breeds contempt. And eventually, a man and a woman just get so used to each other and become almost have contempt for each other. And so you go back and remember your wedding day. Why are we married? Why did we marry? Why did we marry? These kind of things, see? And you get back to because we loved each other, as we saw a future for each other, with each other. So it becomes remembering has a reason and a purpose for remembering. Point 9. The text may be simply to remember or be caused to remember, with the instrument or means or cause of this remembering not mentioned. That is in our context with the communion service, but not in every context where we have those words. For example, in our context, we have a memorial supper, communion, as a means of remembering. But this is not all that is at the issue. Question, what causes us to remember, and what is remembered takes us right into the spiritual warfare at the communion service? It causes us to remember that God became man, conflict. Man died on a cross, conflict. The God-man rose from the great dead, conflict. The God-man ascended into heaven, conflict. I'm related to him. I represent him. I'm in the conflict. So remembering, when we take communion, should cause us to remember that we're in a spiritual warfare. Therefore, we must arm ourselves with the weaponry of the Word of God. This takes us into a concept of obedience and all other functions in the spiritual life. Now, these functions can be performed in the flesh or by the Holy Spirit. And only when it's in the power of the Holy Spirit does it have spiritual benefit to our lives. Some might contend that it is the memorial, meaning we just do it. And God's impressed with that, whether you're in fellowship or not. No, he's not. That's one of the great problems. That's what caused Martin Luther to bring about the Reformation. It's not just the doing that is impressing to God. It's in the spiritual realm. And others contend that it's in doctrine. Just knowing the doctrine. Know what God wants to do is you to know the doctrine. No, it isn't, people. It isn't just in the communion service, and it just isn't in the doctrine. Unbelievers, carnal believers, can know a lot of doctrine. Their IQ spurns them to that kind of a church where the truth is taught. Well, I get to ride and talk, man, use it. I know better than anybody else now. See, arrogant, knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. Paul teaches. So what we're looking at here is you're doing these things in the power of the Spirit or in the flesh. And it can be done in the flesh. They've taken the communion, learning the Word of God. All this can be done in the flesh, in the Holy Spirit. It can be done in either or both of these. It doesn't matter. Does it matter which one? To us, to God, it matters all the more that we are in the power of God the Holy Spirit. That's when it has spiritual impact. And it is in the spiritual realm that these things are done. People, if you're going to do these things, be in the power of the Spirit. If you're going to make it to church, as you drive in, if not before, be sure you're in the power of the Spirit. You come and sit down in Bible class, be sure you're in the power of the Spirit. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. because what you're doing in the flesh just glorifies the flesh. The old man, the carnal man, wants to rule and can engage in communion service, learn the Word of God, all these kind of things. But it means nothing in the spiritual realm, nothing at all. I think this is one of the great failures of the church in America today. A great deal of the church is in the flesh. People, if you drive, just take care of your drive, 5 mile radius, you're going to pass a lot of churches. All of us have passed churches getting here. You have that many churches, wow, this nation ought to just be one bulwark of spiritual glorification. Where are we? We're morally corrupt, spiritually bankrupt. We're just as pitiful. Why? With so many churches, so much television, radio, books, oh, we ought to just be one unbelievable nation. And we're bankrupt. Why is that? I believe that in most of these churches, no matter the singing they do, the praise worship they do, the study they do, all these kind of things, it's all in the flesh. That profits nothing in the angelic conflict. It glorifies Satan. Because Satan wants you to do those things in the flesh. I think one of the problems in America today is we do not know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Point 10. The cause of remembering in the spiritual realm, the cause of remembering in the spiritual realm is the second advocate. The first one, Jesus Christ, and he left and he would send another one, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit. This is work of the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. When we're carnal, he works on us, convicts us. Often, we're so involved in the flesh, we don't even hear him. You've got to be quiet to hear the soft voice of the Holy Spirit. And we're usually so loud in the flesh, we don't hear him. Do not hear what he's saying. But it's the Spirit of God who does it. It's the work of the convicting ministry of the Spirit. When we're carnal, he works on us. When we're in faith, he uses this for his glorification. I want to show you, we can look at a verse, and you know it, and I know it in my studies, the same verse, multitude of times, and every time, something else strong jumps out. Look at John 14 a moment. We've looked at this many times, but let's look at something. John 14, verse 26. John 14, verse 26. But the, I tell you another thing. It was so wonderful this week to hear young kids, 120 of them, different ones, reading. When I teach, I'd say, okay, John 14, 26, I need someone to read it. And let's say a girl raised her hand, I need a guy to read it. I need a girl to read it. I need a guy to read it. And I just loved it. Even though sometimes I couldn't hear them. And I'm not sure hardly anyone could hear them. But they were reading the Word of God aloud. And I love that. That was just so beautiful. But John 14, 26, but the helper, now I don't like the word helper, so we're going to say the parakletos. Now, Christ is a transliteration, not a translation. So let's do the Holy Spirit the same. Let's call him, but the parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Now look what it says. And bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, people. To bring to our remembrance. And I'll tell you something. When you get as old as Jim Langston and me, we thank God for this ministry. Because our flesh nature can't remember everything. See? Jordy Brown and I, Jordy Brown likes to say, I just wish I remembered all I knew. And that's the kind of thing. But it's the Holy Spirit who will bring to memory. This is a powerful phrase. And bring to your remembrance. When you need it, it'll come by the ministry of the Spirit. Therefore, you want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, in all these churches that you pass going back and forth, to church on Sunday and other days, don't even know how to be filled with the Spirit. Don't even know about the Holy Spirit. A lot of them corrupting with their charismatic stuff, but they don't know how to get into it. It's all emotionalism. We've got to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that He can bring us to remembering. Remembering is not the work of the flesh and the spiritual realm, but the Holy Spirit. This is one of the reasons He sent the Holy Spirit, people, that He will cause us to remember. Now, multitude of people who study the Bible are not even saved. Now, that was one thing I learned in seminary, that we would be studying, and we had to study some of these guys. They had books, just a whole shelf, and I come to find out, they didn't even know the gospel. And I was going, why are we wasting our time in seminary studying a man who doesn't even know the gospel? Oh, but they're important in history. Well, not in my history. Not in the movement that God would have us to do. But they had good IQs. They were smart, intelligent people. But for spiritual impact, spiritual benefit, it's the power of the Holy Spirit, people. Don't ever think it's your power. It's a convicting work of the Holy Spirit on the unbeliever. It's a convicting work of the Spirit on the believer when he's carnal. All right, this moves us to point 11. Does the Holy Spirit use the communion service? By all means. By all means. That's what this passage is teaching us. Does the Holy Spirit use the doctrine in your souls? By all means. The Holy Spirit may use these things and to stir up our remembrance. To stir it up. Now, with that in mind, let's open the Word of God to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I don't want to speak out of line here because I have left this to Chris Day and to run the camp and these kind of things. But Jody Brown and I were talking, and I've felt for the last couple of years, we just need a camp on the Bible. Teach the kids the Bible. Because a lot of them didn't know where these things were. So I went through a little discussion on the table of content. Old Testament, New Testament, where to find these things. And so we'll just have to see what Chris is going to come up with for next year. I'm going to give him my suggestion. Just know the Bible. Know it in truth. What's going on with it? So that they can feel familiar when they carry it. Their book, and they'll feel very familiar with it. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you. This is a pastor's job. It's a pastor's job. Going over something, repetition. It's good for the soul. I guess he didn't study. We're going over this doctrine again. Going over this again. No, people. I'd rather go on sometime. But the Holy Spirit said, you need to go through it again. So, this is what Peter says. Therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them. You can't remind somebody of something if they didn't know it in the first place. That's teaching them. But if you remind them, they know it. So, to remind you of those things, doctrines, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth. There's the key. Does the church teach the truth? There are a lot of churches out there. Are they teaching the truth? That's the great issue. Now, which is present with you? Verse 13, and I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. To stir you up by way of reminder. Going over the doctrine. Maybe put a different twist to it, something like that. But to remind you, get it going again. I don't know how many of you in the class that comes on the second service knew last Sunday. Now, the first part was new. But then we took up the doctrine of walking. We had just studied it several months earlier in Colossians chapter 1. I don't know if hardly anybody even realized, hey, we've already had this. Nobody said that to me. Maybe they knew better now. But every now and then you've got to go over things. I was thinking, James didn't even say it. Well, this is, I've already done all this. He didn't do that. He just, okay. See? But this is why, people, to remind you of these things. And I consider it right, as my job as a pastor, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. Being reminder stirs us up to something. The Greek word means to make it full, to arouse, to stir up. What is being stirred is the question. What's being stirred by remembering? Faith. We live by faith. Faith in the Holy Spirit. Faith in God. Faith in Jesus Christ. The whole procedure. In fact, look at verse 5 in the same chapter. Now, for this very reason, also, applying all diligence in your faith. People, that's how we live. You either got not just a matter of saying we live by faith, not by sight. It's got to be part of your life. By faith, supply moral excellence, and your moral excellence, knowledge, and it goes on with it. Faith is where it all begins. Stirred by the Holy Spirit and remembering. You're stirred to trust. I just got to trust the Lord. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what's happening. My health. My work, my finance, my school, my this, my that. But trust Him. And I'm going to walk with Him in the midst of it. That brings us to point 12. This is one of the few times we've gone with this many points. Years ago I made a decision, don't get involved in a whole lot of points. And after I got kidded so many times, well, point 40. And I've never had 40 points, but I've been kidded of that. So I've tried to limit it, but this is very important. This concept of remembering. First, point 12. So, cause means of remembering. Many things cause us to remember, like a memorial, as we have with the Lord's Supper. Results in or is designed to result in arousing memory. And that to arouse action. To arouse memory, to arouse action. That's what it's about. The memory isn't the goal. The action is the goal. This is one reason this supper is called a memorial. Many memorials in the United States. But they have a meaning only so far as you are in some way attached to them, value them. Some memorials, a lot of memorials today, I'm afraid, do nothing for people. I wonder how many people, when they see the Jefferson Memorial, the Washington Memorial, reflect on what those things mean, what those men did, how important it is. Oh, not just, wow, that's a beautiful memorial. Look at his hands. Look at his face. That's not what it's about. I'm not saying it's wrong to admire those things, but it's what those memorials represent. See? In Texas, the Alamo. There are so many Yankees moving down here, Alamo means nothing to them. Means nothing to them. See? I'll tell you what, it hurts me is on the way, between Dallas and Houston on the south side of Huntsville is a big, large statue of Sam Houston. And every time I drive by, okay, remembering Sam, okay, I'll never forget. I was with Dan and Pat. And so we were driving by there, and she doesn't mind me doing this, driving by there, and she said, "Well, who was Sam Houston?" I almost had a wreck. "What do you mean, who was Sam Houston?" And one year, coming back from the pastor's conference, John Henson and I took the time. We pulled over there, went through the whole thing. But it's got to mean something to you, otherwise it's nothing. It's nothing. If it doesn't stir your soul, it's just nice. It's beautiful. If you appreciate the structure of Sam Houston or George Washington or Thomas Jefferson. But people, if you're an American and you understand history, you say, this was a great man. The things he came up with in the Constitution, the attitude, his love of the Bible, his love of the Word of God. George Washington, his prayer life is that of a spiritual warrior. And you just stand there, it means something. We have a lot of military memorials. I don't think they have the impact they used to. But they have a big wall with all the men's names on it. That means something to some people. Other people, oh, isn't that nice? No, it's not nice. It's powerful. It's complicated. It's memorable. It stirs you. I want to keep what they died for alive. That's what it should do. I want to keep alive what they died for. I want to keep alive what they lived for. That's what I want to do. It stirs you to this kind of action. It's become so important. Respect to the flag. That's why I love the raising and the lowering of the flag at camp. I'm so glad Chris makes that an important part. And every one of the young people have to fall out for that. Stand. Watch it. Think about it. Go into prayer. Pledge allegiance in the morning. And these things are powerful. That's what causes people to remember things to action. That's what it's about. So these are the things that should stir us in our souls. The Lord's Supper that we're in the midst of studying will cause a stirring in your soul of many people. But there are a lot of believers. It will not stir them. "Well, I'm doing this and God's going to give me a reward for just the doing it." No, people, you don't get a reward just for doing it. It's ritual without reality. You've got to have reality with it. Teaching of Scripture is so valuable, but just the learning doctrine is not the point. It's not a point of how much doctrine you know, whether you can make an A+ in a doctrinal exam. It's the Holy Spirit causing you to learn these things where it has a spiritual impact in your life, in your marriage, in your work, in every area of your life in the church. It has an impact. That's what it's there for. For the Christian in the spiritual realm, for this to have a benefit, must be by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we're carnal, all of this type of thing is just for ourselves. That's what it's about. It's not about Christ, it's for us. See? Now the flesh remembers many things, namely sins, failures of self and of others. And it keeps them down. Keeps them out of the spiritual warfare. "Well, I have failed in some great way," or "you failed in some great way. God can't use you." That's what I said a while ago. Christians are like Christians and newspaper reporters will always remind you of your sins and your failures. Forget that nonsense. Forget the past. Leave those things behind. Move on. Don't let them drag your marriage, your spiritual life, your church life, your Christian life, your momentum in Christ down. Don't let them. They're not worth it. Don't give them that place in your life. See? Let the Word of God bring to memory those things that cause you to function in the plan of God. Glorify Christ. The Holy Spirit remembers the work of God. The Holy Spirit remembers the work of Christ. The Holy Spirit remembers the teaching of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit reminds us of things to give us understanding. Where does that come from? Let's open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 7. 2 Timothy 2, 7. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Consider what I say, Paul writing young Timothy and to all of us, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Again, how? How does the Lord give understanding? By the Holy Spirit whom He sent to us. And understand the whole flow of the plan of God. Verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Now, this is very important. The church and Israel are not the same. The church does not replace Israel, but the church is related to Israel's past. If you're a believer in Christ, you are of Abraham. We are all of Abraham. So it says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, resurrection, descendant of David. It's God's faithfulness, according to my gospel. Verse 7. Look at verse 7 again. Understanding. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Understanding in the Word of God, understanding in life. Right now in Colossians 1, verse 32, we're studying what? Wisdom. Knowledge. Where are they found? In Jesus Christ. So, Christ will give you understanding from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, whom He has sent to us, giving us understanding of His death, His resurrection, His ascension. As we remember the person of Jesus Christ, we receive understanding by the ministry of the Holy Spirit working supernaturally on our souls. And that's unexplainable. To the unbeliever, I'm babbling like a fool. But to you and me, we understand this. Our soul is invisible. Inside of us is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works on our soul. When we're in fellowship, when we're out of fellowship, He's constantly working. He never sleeps. He's always working there. Maybe that's sometimes why we can't sleep, because He's working on us. But nevertheless, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. See? That's what He's there for. And it's supernatural. This is at the heart of what the Holy Spirit will cause us to remember. The person and work of Jesus Christ. People, it's about Christ. We're seeing that in Colossians chapter 1, chapter 2. It's about Jesus Christ, the hope of glory in you. Faith. And why faith? If you remember that Jesus Christ did all the work, all that we can do is faith. That's an easy deal. People that want to add to it do not understand. There's our word, the work of Christ on the cross. If you think you can add to the work of Christ on the cross for your salvation, your spirituality, or whatever it is, all you're showing is, I don't really understand the cross. Oh, I sing praises to it and I talk about it. But when you say things like that you've got to do something, you don't understand it. You don't understand. And you're just showing it. Understanding is understanding He paid it all. He paid it all on the cross and rose so that we could live again and live with and through Him. So the understanding becomes an issue in our very lives. So another important question here is, to what is Paul referring? When he says, according to my gospel, in the passage we just read, what does he mean by gospel? See? He tells us, look at the next two verses, verse 9. 2 Timothy 2:9. For which gospel I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. Gospel equals the word of God. Now, verse 10. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. People, who are the chosen? Anyone who responds to the gospel. To respond to the gospel, they've got to get the gospel. That's our job. That's our job with these young people. It's our job. I had a pastor tell me, I'm just amazed. I understand your church is very small, but the impact you people have on young people's lives is unbelievable. I don't know any big church that has the impact y'all do. And I appreciated that. But what we're talking here about is getting that gospel out there. Now, I don't know how many. We had one third of our young people that were there at this camp, brand new, first timers. I know seven that claimed they believed in Jesus Christ for the first time. That's powerful. We changed eternity in seven young lives. Eternity's changed for them. Now, what we hope will happen, their life will change. They grow in the Word of God. They learn about hope. They want to learn more, these kind of things. See? So, verse 9 of 2 Timothy 2, for which gospel I suffer hardship. You know, one thing about Americans, we do not know what it is to suffer hardship for the gospel. We've not been asked to suffer for it. We've had the freedom. And we've taken that freedom to the point of leisure, to the point of missing it. I wished that Americans had the love of the Word of God that some of the Christians do in Pakistan, where Vassal is. I wish they had the love of the Word of God that some do in Africa, that some do in India. I mean, they risk their lives. They will walk for hours to get to church every Sunday. Walk. They want to hear the Word of God. That's how valuable and important it is. And Jody was telling me some stories. I hope to get him here again sometime. And I'm just going to ask you, just tell us stories. Of when you were a missionary, and the stories of people coming for the first time, learning the Word of God. Wow! Tell me more. We're just so in freedom, we don't have that appreciation. And then verse 10 again, for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. That's what should be our attitude about this camp. We have an opportunity to give the gospel to young people who may not even know the gospel at all. So here the gospel, in their context here, the gospel and the Word of God are the same thing. Our salvation by the work of the Savior. Salvation as an unbeliever, salvation as a believer. See, that's true of salvation, what we call salvation one, salvation two. If we desire understanding, the Holy Spirit causes us to remember the gospel. That's what the communion service is, to remember the gospel, that He came and died and rose again that we might have life in the newness of life. That's why we have the communion service. And this is all understood by faith. When you have to make decisions in life, important decisions, go back to the gospel. Go back to faith. Go back to the plan of God. Grace, spiritual love, righteousness, justice, faith, forgiveness, cleansing. All of these things are vital to our everyday life. Forgiveness, cleansing. The cross will guide you, people, if you understand it. You understand it. All the aspects of it, it guides you in your life. The cross will guide you. if you remember the person and work of Christ, that is what the supper is designed to do. To allow us to remember, to cause us to remember. And we do it the first Sunday of each month, which will be next Sunday in this case. We do it, and that kind of sets us up the right direction for the month. Point 13. Oh boy, how many is there? Remembering is vital in recovering the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Let's look at verses 1 through 5. We've studied the book of Revelation some time ago. It's time to go over it again. All right, Revelation 2, 1 through 5. To the angel, the messenger of the church in Ephesus. Write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, Jesus Christ, the one who walks among even golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men. You put to test those who call themselves apostles, that they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Boy, that sounds great. Amen. Amen. That's me. That's me. Well, wait a minute. Verse 4. But, always hated that. Always hated that with my mother. But, you cleaned your room, but, here it is. But, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. People, this is what remembrance is about. This is what I was talking about earlier. A husband and wife remembering when they married. Remembered what it was about. Why did we marry in the first place? Why did I start going to this church in the first place? Why am I doing this in the first place? I remember. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now look at the first word in verse 5. First word in verse 5. Remember. Remember. Therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first. What were the deeds they did at first? Faith. Or else, I am coming to you, and no, this is the only church of the seven churches, he says this. This is how severe this is. I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. It's going to wipe them out. Not even said of any other church, but of this church. They had it and they lost it. Now, they were still doing great things. Oh boy, they were doing great things. It wasn't in the power of the Spirit. And it wasn't motivated by love of Christ. They just did it themselves. Wow, look at all we're doing. Look at what we're doing. Everybody just look at us. Look at our buildings. Look at this. Look at that. See? People driving along, family driving along. Well, they didn't drive along, but driving along. And they stopped at Smyrna. Smyrna had a small group like we do. Smyrna people were being thrown in jail by the Romans to take away their property. They were being persecuted by Satan. And, let's go and try another church. This one's not too good. Everybody here is suffering. Let's go on down there. I hear Ephesus. Boy, I hear they're just vibrant. They're doing great things. They got a great music program. They got this going and that going. All this great stuff. Let's go to Ephesus. That's what Christ said. You've forgotten your first love. You have forgotten it. This remembering is more than just recalling your memory. It is designed to make a difference in your life. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed as a reminder of where you were, why you believe in Christ, and then from that point, carry on in glorifying Christ. Well, we'll resume here next Sunday morning. And Zoom right here. Let's close in a word of prayer. Get ready for our next session. Heavenly Father, please cause us to remember, even when we have forgotten, please have your Holy Spirit convict us to remember. When we find ourselves doing things out of the flesh, even coming and listening to the teaching of the Word of God, singing praises, praying, doing wonderful things, but in the flesh, cause us to remember the work of your Spirit, power of your Word, example set before us by Jesus Christ. Father, I pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning, cause them to come to our soul, convict us, Heavenly Father, that we, Father, can do and be what you would have us be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.